You're listening to the podcast of Hillside Christian Fellowship. Hillside is a community of believers in Millersburg, Pennsylvania. We hope you are blessed and encouraged by this week's message.
I'll share from my heart today, and I actually do have a short word today, and I wondered why. I kept asking, Lord, why aren't you giving me more to share? And now I understand, because it's already the hour's late. And I love you guys, and I honor your time. I do believe that. I have a conviction about preaching, which is that I don't have a right to your time. I'm grateful for the opportunity to sow seed, and I hope it helps. I hope it's effective. I hope that spiritual things happen from whatever blabs out of my mouth. When I get to preach, I do consider it an honor. And I do only share what I feel like the Lord is on the Lord's heart. And if I ever don't have anything to share, it'll be the day Jesus comes back. But if I ever don't have anything to share, I won't preach. I'll wait and see what the Lord's going to do in the service. And I just love how he orchestrates things like that. So I do want to finish out. We've been sharing about these things that the early church devoted themselves to, the first church. I mean, just try to fathom an entire world without the church. There's a great book written, What Would the World Be Like Without Jesus? And it's all the testimonies of what the kingdom of heaven has done in the world for the last 2,000 years. What the world was like when Jesus arrived, nothing like what it looks like right now. And if, you know, I know right now it seems like it's just all bad news, division, blah, 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 all this stuff. Pandemic, you know, all this, man. You're thinking, all right, we got like 6 of the 10 plagues. What's next, you know, and all that. And I know that the news can tend to affect us. And there's, even if you've shut it off, like I endeavor to do, it's just hard to avoid it. But I'm telling you that the good news is not just that you could be saved by grace and the good news that you can have eternal life in Jesus Christ. The good news is that the kingdom of heaven is advancing all around the world. It has never stopped. It has never even slowed down. It's just that it hasn't always made headline news. So there's some amazing things happening, and it began with a faithful group of people, ragtag bunch. I don't know if you've been enjoying The Chosen as much as I have, but watching, I mean, we just got to meet Simon the Zealot. Man, I can't wait to see what they do with him when Matthew has to sleep in the same room as him. I mean, it's going to be so much fun. But Jesus took these nobodies and made them into people that literally turned the world right side up. And how did they do it? They got about 120 people in an upper room, and they prayed. Today's the day on the church calendar where we celebrate Pentecost. I know, for me, it feels like Christmas. It's like, well, I have Christmas every day, Pentecost every day. But there, it's good to remember that Jesus one day sent the Holy Spirit. He ascended to heaven, sat at the right hand of God, and then he said, I got to go there because then I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you. And the Holy Spirit got poured out in that room. They began to speak in other tongues. They spilled out into the street, and the church was born. And there were some amazing things that happened. How did they maintain that? How did they keep the fire going? I mean, how did they take what Jesus did in just 3.5 years and make it something that we 2,000 years later have only increased in? I don't know about you. I don't want to go back to the day of Pentecost. I mean, I'd like to have it be as normal as it was for them. Like Peter's walking down the street, a shadow done heals somebody. I'd love to see that. Some of those things I want to see, but I believe God's not, hey, let's go back and do it like in the good old days. I believe God's got new things that he's doing. Behold, I do a new thing. Shall you not perceive it? And that our eyes have got to always be looking for new ways. But there are certain things, there are certain aspects of the kingdom of heaven that don't change. Like, you know, water is old-fashioned, right? It's an old-fashioned way of taking a bath. Still my favorite way to get clean. I've tried other fluids, and they just don't. You know, you got to get back to water. Water's old-fashioned, but it still works to get you clean. And there's some things that are old-fashioned, meaning they've been time-tested. They've been demonstrated to be effective. And Jesus, how many of you know, when you get back to just Jesus, Christianity, like pure, undefiled, just keep it simple, stupid, or keep it simple, sweetie, right? That's how Barb used to say it. Keep it simple, sweetie. Christianity, he never added things that were unnecessary. In fact, Jesus spent most of his entire ministry cutting away all the junk of religion, hacking off branches, hacking off entire limbs, cutting down entire groves of religious trees. He made all of the clutter simplified again. And he just boiled it down to four simple things that that first church devoted themselves to. First, get to know the doctrine. Get to know the way. Learn what Jesus taught. Learn the stories of Jesus so that you can do the stories of Jesus. Not just learn about him for some Bible storybook, but so that you will go and do likewise. Learn the doctrine. Learn what it means to walk with Jesus. Learn what the Spirit of God says and does, and learn what the Spirit of God does not say and do, so that you'll have a foundation. You won't be thrown to and fro by every new wind of doctrine, every new latest fad. We've never done that in America, though, right? We don't do fads in the church. I mean, who decorates, like, you know, we don't have a pallet wall up there for that reason, because I know it's going to be a fad. I'm telling you, 10 years from now, we're going to want to tear it down. But we do fads of different styles of worship, fads of all these kind of different things that really don't matter. And there are doctrines, there are basic things that if we ever lose those, if we ever learn what it means, lose what it means to walk by faith, if we ever lose the simplicity of just walking by grace and not by works, if we ever lose those simple things and we're really getting off and building on something that's not Christ. And then they gave themselves to fellowship. That never gets old and never gets dry, and aren't we missing it? After last year, I know there's so many hungry for fellowship. When Jamie first shared what he said today, where'd he go? Looking for his fellowship. You're sitting too close to me. I couldn't see you. Do you know Jamie and Mel coming up and sharing their hearts like that? Just the feeling of the embrace of the saints. I don't know about you, but oh man, would I miss that if I never had that again. There's a sense of, man, when I'm with somebody, I'm at La Lay out in the lobby 15 minutes before service. I'd heard of him. I missed him when he was here last year, and I met him, and I felt like I just met a brother I never met before. There's this feeling of connection. As soon as he got up here to share, I began to tear up with the sense of Spirit communicating to Spirit. That's what fellowship is. You could go somewhere, and even if you hadn't learned English, and I've been in India, I didn't understand a dang thing anybody was saying, but I knew the Spirit of God was communing with my spirit through their spirit. That's fellowship. And that's a rare and precious thing, never to be taken for granted. When you don't have access to the fellowship of the saints, life just begins to take on a dull gray tone. Fellowship. They devoted themselves to fellowship. They said, I'm not going to pull myself away from the gathering of the saints. I'm going to be together with them. And then they devoted themselves to the breaking of bread, where they remembered at every meal, Jesus is here with us right now. Remember, he told us, as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. Invite me around the table every time you gather, and I will manifest myself. I will show up in that sweetness of my peace. I will show up in the power of my miraculous when you need it. I'll show up just to let you know I'm still with you. You might feel alone because you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death right now, but I am with you. And we break that bread and we remember he is always with us. And boy, does he love it when we gather in his name. And that's the breaking of bread. They devoted themselves to that. And they devoted themselves to prayer. Last but not least, maybe even saving the best for last, they devoted themselves to a lifestyle where they were actively communicating with God through prayer. That there was how many of you know, we can tend to take God's presence for granted. We can tend to think, well, you know, God's with me and he knows what I need before I ask. So what's really the point of praying? We can get into a rut of just sort of moving through life, going through life, going through the motions without actually saying, hold on a second now. The God of the universe wants to communicate with me in a dialogue. Not a monologue, in a dialogue. He wants to actually talk to me as I talk to him. Talk to me as certainly as I could talk to my daughter who's sitting right here in front of me. We can talk. We can catch up on the day. I could hear her heart. She can hear my heart. I can see her face. And prayer is the art of communicating with God in a way that's as real as our communication one with another. It's an art that needs to be learned and practiced. I was just sharing this Wednesday night, I think, with the class that we're doing there, the Discovering Who You Are in Christ, I've got the Yours Workmanship class. We were just talking about this the other night, how in this room right now, let's say, I don't know, what are there, like 50, 80 men, something like that in this room. If you would all begin to talk at once, and my father walked in the room, if I had my eyes closed and I turned around, I could tell you exactly where my father is standing without looking. Why? because I've lived with the man for 53 years. I know his voice. I've tuned into it. As a boy, I tuned into it, or else. As an adult, I've tuned into it as we've grown into a different kind of relationship in my later years of life. But I know his voice. Why? Because I've taken the time to be with him. And so it is with learning how to hear the voice of God. I'll be sharing a few things of that in the weeks ahead. How to recognize when it is that God's speaking. But the first thing in learning to hear the voice of God is to devote ourselves to prayer. So I want to share just a few thoughts with you about praying in private and praying corporately when we're all together in one place, because that's really what we're about with this. But to pray well corporately involves a group of people that have been praying well privately. See, if the only time that we're opening our mouth to pray is when we've got a prayer meeting or we're gathering or we're blessing the food, dude, I don't even know why we do that anymore. The way my wife cooks, that food does not need to be blessed. I mean, it's kind of in a sense of pride. I believe I heard a lot of different things, but I heard somebody said the practice of blessing food was in case it was poisoned. You ever hear that one? Or because you were eating somewhere with her. Liz is laughing out loud with that. Because, you know, and I don't want to die. So I got to bless it first or else the poison will kill me. I don't know. I don't know where it comes from. But it's good to pray. And if you're like, you know, I've been fighting tooth and nail for 29 years of parenting to keep my family around the table for meals. I didn't have that growing up. And I value it. It's a nice face-to-face time where we could be together, catch up, and just be, you know, face-to-face with one another. So anyway, I don't know why I got off on that. But so if that's the only time that we're praying, though, how many of you know our corporate prayer times are going to become rather lifeless? But when you have a gathering of people who have connected with God in the secret place, they'll have much better communication with God when they're together. You know, the service that we have, ooh, I like that music. That's very dramatic. What is that? I think there must be a pad sound on that slide. I didn't do that on purpose. I don't know what I'm doing. So, all right, I'll come back, Holy Spirit. When we're together, if people have come already prepared and prayed up, like I exhorted even this morning again, the group that gathers before service, we don't come as if, hey, Jesus, nice to see you again. It's been a while. But we gather having already been with Jesus. And now we bring all of what we've heard together in one place. It's like everybody brings their ingredients and cooks up some awesome prayer because everybody's been tuned in. Some of the most exciting times in prayer meetings happen when you pray something or when you hear somebody pray and you were just about to say that. Or you had a picture, or you had a vision, or you had a scripture, something that goes exactly with what the Lord's saying at that time because we're endeavoring to pray what Jesus is praying for us. And we're praying that way. That gets really exciting, and it builds faith. You just know, wow, God is here right now. He's going to do something fantastic because we're hearing his voice right now. This is amazing. It's like we're tuned into the same radio station. So communicating in private affects how we communicate with God when we're together. So just a couple things about praying in private. These are more bullet point exhortations from my heart today. First thing I want to encourage you to do is keep your prayer life a dialogue. Don't be monologuing with God. I mean, there are times that we just need to pour our heart out, right? There are times that we just need to dive into the presence of the Lord because we got this grief going on in our lives. We got this, you know, whatever. We got issues that are just so big, but we keep our prayer life a dialogue so that we can also hear from God. Karen, that's the next slide. We can hear from God. We want to be so tuned in from God that we want to know, what do you think about this thing? It's a big mistake to go through life circumstances without involving God in the discussion, without finding out, what is it that you see here going on right now? You ever have something happen in your life and then you go try to figure it out? Anybody else do that? You ever try to figure it out without God? You know that's a rhetorical question, right? If I had a show of hands, you better all raise them. Because like my friend used to say, liars are friars. You know, that's we get in these things, we try to work it out, and the stronger your personality, the stronger maybe your leadership type gifting is, the more you feel like, I can handle this thing. And then we tend to interpret life circumstances through our own wisdom and our own understanding instead of trusting in the Lord with all of our heart and never leaning on our own understanding. In all of our ways, acknowledging him. So when we make prayer dialogue, we're saying, you know what, Lord, I have this thing happen. You saw it. I saw it. I need to understand. I need heaven's perspective on this life event right now, because I don't want to be building strongholds that fight against you later on because I'm offended or I think you left me and all this kind of stuff. So we keep our prayer life a dialogue. Endeavor to block out enough time that you can sit quietly before the Lord. Look, I get busy. Look, I had one of those weeks a couple of weeks ago where it was all 12-hour days, 6 days. It was just one of those weeks where genuine crises were erupting and nothing you could do about it. It's just like, I now understand the meaning of this. You got to make hay when the sun shines. I'm watching everybody do it now. Go, oh, Dad, you got to dry it out in the sun. Oh, look, City Boy's learning a lot from living in Lycan's Valley. and we use that, it's a proverbial expression, because there are times you just got to do it now. And when we devote time to, or when we fail to devote time to just being with the Lord, we just rush through the motions of life. And who knows, but today we're not going to have a burning bush experience with God. Where because we just hopped right into our day and we got our agenda all set, we know where we got to be when, and we got a busy day, we got so much going on right now, and we walk right past that burning bush right there. Or maybe we just go through life like this, and there we go, right past all that beauty right there, and we missed out an opportunity to embrace beauty. She said, they can't see you on the camera, don't worry. But we do, so... When prayer becomes a dialogue, when we're sincerely saying, you know, and I'm just settling my spirit right now that this is Jesus time. Do you know the love languages? Do you know that God's all of them? Quality time. We used to talk about, well, with child raising, they need quality time, not quantity time. And my friend had a really good remark about that, Pam Bream. She said, Steve, what if you only gave a tomato 5 minutes of quality time on the vine every day? How do you think that would do? I said, oh. So it's quantity time too. I want to urge you with everything in me, carve out the time to make your prayer dialogue and not just rattle off a list. I mean, I'm assuming, of course, that we do pray. That we go into that secret place, we shut the door, and it's just me and Jesus time. I urge you to do that if you don't have that in your life right now. That's the part. You know, when I meet with people who are desperate, when they have problems, they need help with something, need some counsel. You know me by now, if you've ever come for that, I don't tell you what to do. I want to help you discern what the Lord's been saying in you. And one of my first questions will almost invariably be, well, what's the Lord been telling you about that so far? And almost invariably the answer will be, well, I haven't really been praying that much about it. Good. Let's start there. Let's start with seeking the face of God, because I will never be your replacement for Jesus. I will never satisfy. And I just don't need more people offended at me right now, because I didn't measure up to the standard of Jesus. Keep your prayer life a dialogue. Then Jesus made this promise after telling people, I want you to persevere in prayer. I've wondered sometimes, you know, we ask the question, why doesn't God always answer prayer the first time? Anybody else ever wonder that? I'm not giving you an answer today. That's not what I do. Because I do believe that one of the possibilities is that it's nice to be able to communicate face to face, and the only time he ever has our attention is when we're desperate enough to need him again. The amazing thing about Father is he's not offended by that. He's happy to have that face-to-face time with us. Bob Mumford used to say that sometimes God will fix a fix to fix you. That's old terminology. A fix is like when you're in a bad spot, bad situation. He'll fix a fix to fix you. But really what it's about is I love this face-to-face time right now. And isn't it amazing how while we're here at this table, there's this presence of your enemies all around, but you forgot they're there? Because it's just you and me at the table right now. Isn't that amazing? That's the power of prayer. the lions are still circling around. They're still roaring and doing their thing. But there you are with the shepherd, and you feel totally safe and secure. That's the beauty of this place of prayer. So Jesus said, I want you to persevere in prayer. He told this little parable after teaching the Lord's Prayer. Suppose when he has a friend from out of town, he comes over in the middle of the night, and you go and bang on your neighbor's door. You say, hey, I need 3 loaves of bread. And your friend's like, I'm in bed. Do you bang again? No, really, dude, I need 3 loaves of bread. And he said, no, dude, I'm in bed. My feet are clean. I'm not getting up. You keep banging on the door. So finally you come, and you give your friend 3 loaves of bread. Leave me alone. Let me go back to sleep. I just paraphrase that. I know. How much more will your Heavenly Father give you when you persist? It was a prayer, he said, so that men would always pray and not give up. I don't have an answer for the question, why does God delay sometimes? And sometimes he comes through before I say amen, the answers come. And then other times the days turn into months, into years, and there's still no answer. I don't know. Can we be okay with I don't know as an answer? It's one of the ways you know how closely you're walking with the Lord. If we're content to stay close with him, even when we don't understand, even I don't get this, I don't like this even. You can say that out loud to him, by the way. I don't like the way you're leading me right now. But, remember, watch your but I'm still going to walk with you. I don't understand. It's mighty dark. Why would you send me out as a lamb among wolves? I don't know. But I'm glad you're with me in the middle of it all. So Jesus then made the promise. So I say to you, ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be open. Second thing I want you to know about prayer is just keep praying until you have an answer. Not an answer to the first question you ask. Study Jesus carefully. He never once answered anybody's question, the first question they asked. Not once. It must have been really frustrating to be a disciple. It is sometimes, isn't it? Because we think we know the right questions. I'm learning the older I get that wisdom is not learning all the right answers. It's learning how to ask the right question. Because we think we know what the issue is all about, and God says, oh, I see something much deeper than you can see right now. And if I just answer that question, you'll move on. I want something deeper than that. I don't just want to heal your addiction. I want to heal the reason why you became an addict. I don't just want to heal your broken, fearful heart because you were abused when you were young. I want to make you whole. I want to turn that mess into a ministry. I've got something much deeper. So pray until we have an answer. It's almost like, you know, the guy's knocking on the door asking for bread, and the bread doesn't come yet, and he's on the inside like, hang on, I'm baking it. You just got to wait. It's not ready yet. And besides that, I got something better than bread for you. How about a whole feast? How about I bring out the wine also? How about I bring out something? How about I invite you all in for dinner? How about that? God's usually got so much more in mind than what we're even asking for, more than we ever asked or imagined. Pray till you have an answer. In order to deal with all of life's anxieties, we have this precious scripture in Philippians. It's a great exhortation about prayer. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Let your request be made known to God. I want to put this in there kind of like a yellow flag that if you've talked to more than one person about a problem in your life, but you haven't yet prayed about it, actually make that a red flag. Oh, I want a red flag. 5-alarm fire, is that big enough? I'm talking to the wrong people. I'm talking to people who can't do anything about my problem but pray for me. But if I'm not praying, how about I start by talking with the Father about it? Maybe he'll say, you know what? I'll answer that, but I've got 2 or 3 for you I want you to gather with who are going to help you keep your eyes on me throughout this thing because I'm not answering right this moment. I've got other things in store for you, and you're not going to be delivered from this thing instantly. I want you to gather people. But first thing is we talk to God. Make your requests known to God. Then the peace of God, which passes understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. How do you know you've prayed long enough about something? You have peace. That was something a friend of mine said when I was new in pastoral ministry, and I began to experience what it was like to join people in carrying their burdens with them. serious, really intense stuff. Like, well, you'll never know who the person is, but I was a new young children's pastor. I thought I was going to be dealing with children's ministry issues. And I began to meet with people that served on the team and other people in the church. This is a big church, Christ Community. There were a couple thousand people in the church at that time. And I was all of a sudden getting inundated with, you know, people that had needs and prayer and all that. And then some guy came in the office and he confessed to me he was struggling with bestiality. I'm not going to explain that for the kids who are here, but confessed that he was struggling with that. They didn't teach me any of that in seminary. So I'm going to tell you, my mind was spinning. I'd never experienced that one. I thought, I grew up in New York City. I had my sin thing. I've always ministered to inner city kids. I'll never hear anything new. That was a new one. And I carried that in my heart. Man, I thought, wow. I mean, the guy was broken, ashamed, desperate for help. And I had nothing for him. I think I kept a cool face and I didn't look as shocked as I felt. But I realized a few days later, I'm still carrying that man's stuff. And the prophet who was at the church at the time said, I didn't tell him what was going on. He said, Steve, whatever it is that you're carrying, pray until you feel the peace of God fill your heart. Because you're carrying something and it's going to kill you. You can't carry other people's burdens. You can't even carry your own burdens. Did you know that? None of us can carry our own burdens. That's the whole reason why we're in Christ. So I cast my cares on the Lord and pray until you have peace. That's when you know you're done. How much time does that take? Could be 30 seconds. There's some situations in life that we ought to get to. You know, the same thing, let's say it's the same issue we face every day at work. We ought to come to a place of maturity in Christ where within just a few seconds we can say, okay, I'm back in Jesus right now. I have peace. I'm in the eye of the hurricane right now. It's calm. And the wind's blowing all around, but I'm calm. It's calm inside of here. Now I'm going to be able to hear from heaven, grab heavenly wisdom, and I'm going to know how to respond to what's in front of me right now. Sometimes you got to contend for it. But I'm going to tell you that once you get to the place of peace, when you're praying and you have peace, now you're on top, now you're winning, now you're going to be able to do what God's called you to. But let's talk now in the corporate setting. Again, I say to you, Jesus said that if any two of you agree on earth about anything that they may ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. Can you scoot that ahead for me, Karen? For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in their midst. So there's a promise here. This is the reason why corporate prayer is a thing. We do have access to God in private. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Each of us individually, 24/7 access to the very mercy seat of God all the time. But something special happens when two or three gather together in His name. We've been looking at some of those things. Some amazing things can happen when we're intentional about we're here, not just to hang out, not just to play games. I mean, all that's great and good. I love all that too. But we are right now connecting together with Jesus. We're going to pray with Jesus in our midst and acknowledge that fact. So when we're praying together, the first thing I want to exhort you to do, whether you're in a family gathering, where you have friends over, whether you're in a life group, a ministry team meeting, wherever it is, actively involve Jesus' living presence in that prayer meeting. And by that I mean, don't just keep praying out loud, but every once in a while, just stop to listen. As a group, you know, we have this phrase, awkward silence. Sometimes in pre-service prayer, depending on what kind of culture you come from, it feels like awkward silence. Because we as Westerners think you got to fill every moment with voices. And we talk too much. Sometimes when we're praying together, it's good to just stop and listen. Especially listen to what everyone else, but listen. And even stop and say, okay, Lord, we are right now in desperate need of your help. We're in desperate need of your wisdom. We don't presume to already know even what we need to pray for. But we're asking you right now to come and intervene. Tell us what it is that we should be praying right now. The Bible says Jesus ever lives to make intercession for us. So a good thing to pray in those moments is, Jesus, what are you praying for us right now? You're always making intercession for us. So what are you praying right now? Tune us into heaven's prayers, and we now engage with you who's in our midst right there. While we're gathered in the midst, then we need to remove obstacles to intimacy. removing those obstacles to intimacy first is, of course, with us and God. If we're in some kind of known rebellion, known sin, we have just put an obstacle in the way of our connection with the Lord. It's just gumming up the works. It's making it difficult to hear. But when we pray together, the obstacles of intimacy tend to be between us. So if you're in a gathering of saints and you're at odds with one of those saints, it's like the fly in the apothecary. We just introduce conflict into a place where Jesus is. How many of you know there is no conflict in the Godhead fellowship? Father, Son, Holy Spirit, there's no conflict in there. So if we bring conflict into a gathering in Jesus' name, we just introduced another loud clanging noise into the mist. It's going to make it really difficult to connect together. How many of you have experienced prayer is the most intimate thing that you can do? When I work with pre-married couples, when I'm preparing them to, you know, have a marriage made in heaven, I do encourage them to pray for each other, but always with this caution. When you're praying, you know, we tend to expose our flesh. We expose our outer man. We talk about our thoughts and ideas and opinions. And, you know, we generally, with all of the world, we can have conversation like that. Then with your friends or people that you're allowing in deeper, now you're communicating from the heart. That's a little bit deeper. I'm opening my soul to you. I'm sharing my fears and my desires. I'm sharing my dreams. I'm sharing things that I don't just share with everybody on the street. I'm opening up a little bit deeper. But when we share from our spirit, when we say, these are the deep longings that God put in me since before he wove me together in my mother's womb, when I start communicating from there, that's as vulnerable as it gets, and that is extremely intimate. And so couples can end up in trouble. You ever, like at the end of a youth retreat, at the end of any retreat, when everybody's tired, and all of a sudden we start praying for each other, I'm always watching. Pastor James is always watching for, you know, that guy that wants to pray for that girl all of a sudden. You all know what I'm talking about. That got awkward because there's intimacy going on. Somebody is exposing the core of their being to the God of the universe, and you can really make a deep connection at that moment. So that's just that was a freebie caution. It has nothing to do with the message. But the point is that if there's a block, if there's any kind of a barrier between two people in a prayer meeting, if there's unforgiveness, if there's offense, if there's any kind of issue there, you're now bringing an issue that's going to make it difficult to expose one another's heart and soul and spirit to the Lord, which is what prayer is really all about. So Paul exhorted and told Timothy, I want men in every place to pray, lifting up holy hands without wrath and dissension. And you think, man, what was going on in the church that Paul had to tell them, hey, no fighting when you come to a prayer meeting? Isn't it good to know sometimes that the more things change, the more they stay the same? That if there is any kind of so wrath means I'm angry at somebody and I haven't worked it out yet. You ever get in a prayer meeting or any kind of a meeting and you know that there's two people mad at each other? It's like being around the table. Here's my daughter. I'm not going to make eye contact right now. But when mom and I are not quite, you know, we haven't worked it out yet. We're still mad, but now it's dinner time. We're sitting at the table. How many of you know the kids feel it? Stop looking at her. I see that Pastor James is like, I want to see what Kayla says right now. I'm telling you, it's awkward for the kids. We don't fight in front of them at the table, sometimes a little bit, but we don't try to, you know, we're not doing anything. But man, can they feel the tension in the atmosphere? Something's up. I don't know what's going on, but all the kids are on edge. It's like that when we gather in Jesus' name. If we don't work out our stuff, that's wrath. Dissension is the greatest obstacle to praying in one accord. Praying in one accord means I'm tuned into heaven. I don't have an agenda. I don't have a side. I don't think there's an us or them. Dissension means I believe that somewhere in the middle of all this, there is an us and there is a them. And boy, has there been room for that over the last year. There's the us and them of, you know, who do you vote for? There's the us and them of mask or no mask. There's the us and them of vaccine or no vaccine. There's the us or them of all, you name it. I'm not going to name anymore. I'm tired of it. Somebody's like, now he started to preach. Wrath and dissension means, dissension simply means you can't come and pray heaven's prayers if you view us and them in the body of Christ. There is no such thing as an us and them in the body of Christ. There's only a we. That's it. There is one body, one spirit, one hope in God's call for us, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in us all. It's just that simple. So when we come together in Jesus' name and we have a thought in our mind, well, I believe this and they believe that. Have you ever been in prayer meetings where like this faction starts to pray? Should I call them manipulative prayers? Pointed prayers? Prayers that are designed to rattle the cage of these ones over here? And then these guys over here start to pray prayers that they know will rattle the cage of these ones over there. Thank God we're going to have another 4 o'clock today. I hope you can all make it. We're going to worship and pray together at David's Church. And we're going to lift up holy hands without wrath or dissensions. And there's going to be none of that nonsense going on. It's the pastors in one accord that we know basically where our doctrinal differences are, but there's one thing we never disagree about, and that's Jesus. That he's worthy of every song we could ever sing. That there's no exaggerating in any adjectives we could use to describe him. There's nothing that we could do to make him greater than he is, and we're just going to fix our eyes on him, and we're going to ask him to give us his glory so that we could be one, as Jesus and the Father are one. So when we pray together, we honor one another by listening to one another and praying in one accord. One accord is like, I'm not going to try to get on the keyboard, but you know how you make chords on a piano? It takes at least 3 notes, right, to officially make a chord. 2 chords, you just got chopsticks. That's not interesting. 3 notes and you got a chord, and there's all kinds of combinations. You can add all kinds of things. But unless you like jazz, if somebody plays a wrong note in a chord, ooh, that was off. You ever pray with some people and then like everybody's praying about the same thing? All of a sudden somebody throws something in, it's just out of left field. Nothing to do with what anybody else was praying. And there's a growth edge to this. I don't want anybody not to say, not to pray. In that, I'm encouraging you to honor one another by listening. What's the Spirit of God communicating through that anointed mouth right now? And Lord, do I have anything to add to that? It's like putting together a jigsaw puzzle. It's like making music. Oh, I know what I could add to this right now. I have this sense of what the Spirit of God wants to communicate through me, and now I'm praying in one accord. We're making music together as we lift up our voices to heaven. Those are beautiful prayer meetings to be a part of. So we honor one another when, rather than I've got something and I'm going to pray it, we say, I'm waiting, Lord, to know when, and I'm waiting, Lord, to know if. And I want to hear what the Lord's saying through the whole group and make beautiful music together with the rest of the saints. Finally, I just want to exhort you with this last one. Talk less and pray more. Talk less. I can't get it out of my head. Pray more. There it is. I just took that song over. Sometimes, you know, when you're praying, when there's a need, there's 10, 15 minutes sharing about the diagnosis and the problem leading up to it. And it's not as though everybody's not concerned and we don't want to hear all of what's going on. I just want to say that if the ratio of talking to praying is imbalanced, 15 minutes to share the need, 2 minutes to pray for it, I'd suggest flip the script on that one. Share the need. The Lord knows the details of it. Some people don't understand the medical terminology anyway. You know, this osis and this isis and this and the Jesus and all that. And they're like, I just want to pray now. Sometimes God is a God of detail. And, you know, there are things we want to know what we're praying for. But I want to urge you not to magnify the problem so much, but to just share enough. That's just one example. Talk less, pray more. Of share the need and then devote yourself to really diving in and praying until God begins to move. Take the time that you're going to be spending in the atmosphere of we have a need here to devote to really inviting God in on it and praying and waiting on the Lord, not being so impatient to have to be done with this prayer. And one way to help and honor that is not to take a lot of time to share about the need. And the other time to talk less and pray more is after you've been prayed for. This is in love, and I've been guilty of it too, and I want to urge you not to do this. Let's say you have a need for healing or a need for God to move in your situation. The saints just joined with you in faith and they prayed heaven's prayers over you and they commanded and declared and did everything that we do when we're in the atmosphere of prayer. And as soon as they're done praying, you begin to go right back to talking about the problem. It makes those around you, for one thing, feel like, well, why do we just pray? You don't even believe God's going to move. But it also is a real faith killer for you. If you needed prayer, like today we prayed for a bunch of people, maybe whose faith has run dry because you've been in the same situation for a long time. All of us get in a place like that. That's why no part of the body can ever say, I have no need of you. Sometimes I need to borrow your faith because I've run dry. I've been standing firm and believing for years about this thing. But here's the thing. When you acknowledge, you know what, I'm in a place right now where I just don't believe like I used to, so I need you to pray for me, then that's a time to keep your mouth shut lest you make hell's declarations over that situation instead of heaven's. I want to urge you that when you receive prayer in a group setting, and when we're praying for needs in a group setting, that we magnify the Lord and minimize the devil. I'll just close you with this picture. I think I've shared it here before. Tommy Tenney used to tell this story that was just brilliant at describing this thing. What happens when you ascend into the place of prayer? And it was when he took his little girl on her first airplane trip, and she was sitting next to him. He gave her the window seat, and they're taking off, and they start going up in the air, and she all of a sudden gets all excited looking out the window. She said, look, Daddy, it's widow houses and widow cause and widow people. She was all excited looking out the window. He was just about to give her a lesson in perspective. No, no, no. Those are the same big houses as you see. You can walk in those houses if you go back down. And then the Spirit of God came over him and said, no, son, she's right. When you get up in heavenly places, those problems are about the right size now compared to the God that you're communing with. That's what talk less, pray more means. Gather your prayer life. Get in this corporate environment to the place where you're looking at things now from that heavenly perspective, where faith has come alive in your own heart for your own situation, and stay in that place. Stay on the plane. And then look back down and go, oh, widow problems. Oh, widow devil. Because that's the point. That's the point of praying. So, if you feel this urge to keep talking afterward, as many of us talkers do, zip it and let the word of the Lord be the last thing that echoes through your heart when that prayer has been uttered. Don't rob faith from your own heart after the saints have just imparted it to you. That's about all I had to say about prayer today. We could look with days, months, but the best thing to do, just go do it. I'm going to talk less and pray more for all of us to come into that place of prayer where we're just literally in heavenly places together. So, Father, draw us in deep into your love. Heal any offense that I imparted with the words of my mouth today. God, I pray that you would make us a people who just really so love being in your presence together in that place of prayer that we begin to see the answer to what you taught us to pray. Your will be done. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hallelujah. Lord, give us a week of experiencing that now. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. For more information on the ministry of Hillside Christian Fellowship, go to our website at www.hillsidechristian.org.